Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
You know when you see in movies sometimes people are so nervous because they're meeting someone and they can't speak and you're like, that doesn't really happen. It really happens. I mean, I don't know what came out of my mouth because I couldn't speak English. But he walked in and he just is larger than life. But it doesn't matter how humble and lovely he is. It just is. It's still Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And you can't speak and you can't breathe and don't know what to do with yourself. I didn't know. So that was hard.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have 6 consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise.
Welcome back, Cruisers, to the greatest podcast of all time about Tom Cruise, starring two men and an Alec. I'm your host, Jeff Meacham, and here with me as always is my fearless co-pilot. He's the Bendini to my Lambert and Locke. He's the Goose to my Mav. He's Mr. Joel Johnstone. Joel, scale of 1 to 10, how pumped are you about talking about Cruise today?
Let's go with an 11, but I'm scared. I'm scared because I don't know what's happening. I usually get cliff notes the night before about what we're going to talk about. I know nothing.
Not this
I don't know
week.
What's happening.
Not this week.
I have no. I'm in the dark, guys. I'm flying in the dark.
I love it. Also with us is the man who embodies the canopy that breaks Goose's neck. He looks smart, and well, he is smart, but we don't care. He's Mr. Alec Lev. Alec, care to destroy something beautiful today?
I'm just lucky I'm getting paid.
Guys, I was thinking about Tom Cruise this week, and yeah. I was thinking about how yoked and jacked he looked in his first few films. Think, like, everybody knows Cruise as the risky business guy. Like, that's what everybody thinks is his first movie and what started his career. No. Before that.
No, he looked like a bodybuilder in The Outsiders.
Yeah. Did you know he was a wrestler in high school? That's why he was so big?
I did know that. Did you know that's why I wrestled in high school?
See? That's why we're making this podcast. Dude, the best of Cruise in those first three movies is when, in The Outsiders, when they're about to go fight the Socius, is Cruise at his ultimate psychopath, yoked out craziness. He and Patrick Swayze and the group run out of the house because they're going to go beat everybody up. They're at a 13 of excitement. Patrick Swayze does a full handstand off of a fence, a high fence, if you will. Cruise sees that. He's like, no.
I will not be outdone by a 13.
I will not be outdone by this man. He jumps on the hood of a car and does a full backflip off of the car. This is all in one take.
And from what I read, he improvised that. Like that, like he saw Swayze do that. It was like, here we go. And he hadn't done it in rehearsal. If that goes south, that goes real wrong.
You just ruined many days on set because you're getting reconstructive surgery on your face. Yep. Go ahead.
No, it just pains me to agree with you and to play along with you like you're not both psychotic yourselves.
Uh-huh.
But I will tell you, I was going to say ashamed, but on this podcast, we've thrown that out. What re-inspired me to work out, I swear this is so true, was the shot of Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible when he's got the magnetic thing against the wall in the Pentagon and he has to pull himself up by his bicep.
That's Langley, not the Pentagon. Rookie mistake.
I apologize. He just pulls himself up for it, and that made me.
And you were like, I'm going to get back onto my Bowflex.
And as you can see,
you are just a specimen of a man. No, and then what he does, he has this kind of legendary story where he books risky business. I guess the story goes that he goes down to Florida and like works. He just runs for a week straight and loses 10 pounds. And then gorges himself on candy, like straight up Snickers, to give himself just like a layer of thin fats. And that's why he looks so boyish in Risky Business, even though he's jacked in this three earlier films.
Yeah.
That's what I've been thinking about. Our guest this week is Malin Ackerman. But first, Alec, hit us with the question of the week.
The question of the week is, has Oscar snubbed Cruise?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
All right, let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah.
Joel, here we go.
Okay.
Here's what we know about Cruise and the Oscars.
Yep.
Let's get the logistics out of the
way. Hit me.
1989, Born on the Fourth, he was nominated for Best Actor. 1996, he was nominated Best Actor for Jerry Maguire. In 1999, he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Magnolia.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go in order. 89, okay. Born on the Fourth, he loses to Daniel Day-Lewis.
If you're up against Daniel Day-Lewis in any award ceremony, you don't have to go.
Stay home.
Yeah, you stay home.
Stay home.
You stay home.
Stay home.
DDL, the man has won 3 Oscars. He's
not enough.
I believe he's been nominated like 80% of the movies he's been in.
Fun little tidbit.
Uh-huh.
Now everyone knows Daniel Day-Lewis, his friends carried him around for like months at a time so that he could get into that role and everything. But it's not that Tom Cruise doesn't go the extra length. Tom Cruise and Oliver Stone actually considered using a nerve agent to partially paralyze him during filming.
Sounds like Cruise.
What?
It was only at the last minute that an insurance company stepped in and went, no, we can't guarantee that Tom will be able to walk again. So no.
I think the insurance company only responded at the quote last minute because they weren't asked until the last minute. So far, 0-1. Didn't get it, doesn't deserve it. Move on.
1996, Jerry Maguire. He loses to who? Jeffrey Rush for Shine. Listen, if you're going to win an Oscar, this is what happens. You got to have a nervous breakdown. You're an inmate. You're an asylum patient. You're a drug addict. Looney Tunes, crazy dementia, cancer. Jeffrey Rush and Shine. This falls under those categories. Those two performances, and now here we come to 1999.
So wait, I'm sorry. You do not think he was?
Yes. We do not think he should have won that year. There's no way
Jerry Maguire is trash. But
it is
go on.
Not true. I wish I had one of the horns that what's his face had in Legend, right? Remember the big horns when he was the devil? And I just wish I could stab you with one of those horns right now.
It's I don't even think, listen, I love him in that movie, but it's not even my top 5 of his favorite performances.
Are you two out of your goddamn minds?
You're not listening to me. I am not with Alec. I'm somewhere else, but I'm also not with you.
What? You shut up right now. Jerry Maguire is it's gold. Moving on before I murder.
But you don't think he should have won the Oscar?
No, he shouldn't. No, he shouldn't.
Okay.
No, I mean, Jeffrey Rush was unbelievable. No, okay. All right. 1999,
here
Magnolia.
There it is.
Here we go. Best Supporting Actor, right. And he loses to Michael Caine in The Cider House Rules. Joel.
Tom Cruise should have won.
Yes, we all agree. Everybody agreed.
This was the role of his life. Wasn't it written with him in mind?
It was. He went, actually, the director, help me out.
P.T. Anderson.
Went to the set of Eyes Wide Shut and was like, hey, I've written this role for you. Everything worked out. You know, I think he only shot for like 3 weeks when he did Magnolia. And the performance was Listen.
Those monologues.
Oh, the monologues. I love Michael Caine in The Cider House Rules. You princes of Maine, you kings of New England. I've watched that movie 1,000 times. I've cried. John Irving's my favorite novelist. The whole 9 yards. I totally believe Tom Cruise should have won.
I'm going to give you another nut punch, Jeff. It's melodrama. Not Michael Caine. Michael Caine is excellent in the movie. The movie's melodrama.
What's happening?
Also, Jeff, can you name another novelist?
Stephen King.
Good.
That's it. Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss. There we go. Yep. There we go. Yep.
But I swear to God, I don't have many more after that. Michael Crichton. I can only name the super famous ones. I do not read a lot. Oof. That's another discussion. Yeah, man. He so should have won for Magnolia.
What I do think is amazing in that is that he is playing a performer. And that is hard to do because you are playing someone who is playing a character, right? His character has this guy that he plays in the big pyramid scheme things that he's doing. And his character is good at playing that role. He's good at playing the character that's playing that role. Then, of course, the interview is fantastic. And the scene with his father is terribly edited and wonderfully acted. Tom Cruise, here he is. He's, you know, he doesn't cry in a lot of these movies. And I feel like Magnolia is sort of the buildup of these decades of characters that have been a little bit strong, kind of holding it back a little bit.
Yeah.
He's finally able to let go.
And where's the camera?
And we cut to what?
Frogs. We cut to frogs.
We cut to frogs.
And a dead man.
And we cut to Philip Seymour Hoffman. We should have just stared at Cruise for as long as he could have held us. I could have been there forever.
They cut to a man mowing the lawn for 30 seconds across the street.
But seriously, I mean, I don't want to see Julianne Moore anymore at this moment. I want to see Tom Cruise losing his shit about his father. But no, we cut to frogs. And then they start singing. This was almost 20 years of a career. Michael Caine had already won his Oscar. Give it to Tom Cruise.
Also, perfect that it was a supporting role. So if the Academy still wanted to be stupid about this,
yep,
they could just give him that little, yeah. They missed it.
They missed
it. My favorite part in that great performance isn't the monologues. It's him sitting silently being interviewed by that woman.
What are you doing? What are you doing right now, Frank? What is happening right now?
I'm silently judging you.
So I don't think this was a huge controversial discussion we just had. No. But now we're about to throw some controversy into this discussion.
If you're driving on the freeway, pull over.
Oof, buckle the up.
I mean, still, this is not important.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry.
We should be clear.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Not only the Oscars actually not important, but this podcast is even less important.
I mean, we're
than
talking
that.
About the Oscars.
Anything that comes out of our mouths, not important.
Right. You should listen to something else starting right now.
Right.
We're going to give you a second. Hold on.
Yep.
Are you still with us? That was a mistake.
You made a mistake. You should be listening to someone else's podcast.
But as long as you're here.
Yeah. If you're here, then here's the deal. Here's where Cruise was not nominated, and we really think he was shafted. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Let's do it.
The man should absolutely have been nominated for playing Charlie Babbitt in a little flick called Rain Man.
Yes!
Beating out Hackman, Olmos, Hanks, and Von Sydow. Dustin Hoffman.
What would happen to Dustin Hoffman?
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman should have been the supporting actor. Well, no. Dustin Hoffman was the supporting actor in the movie and should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
You're considering screen time.
No, I'm considering the fucking laws of films. He was the supporting actor in the movie.
Tom Cruise goes through, his character goes through a change.
Yeah.
It's the Tom Cruise role, right? He does, in Act 1, right, movies usually have, we look at them as having three acts. In Act 1, he's always the cocky guy. He thinks he already has all the answers. Then it gets his comeuppance, and then he turns it around. He goes the farthest in this one, but also to a quiet place, right? He's Mr. Cocky, sells the cars, realizes he's in trouble. And then to find like the love of a brother is a really nice turn. And I agree. I would say easily one of the top three or four performances.
Here's one more point about why I think he was snubbed for Rain Man. What other Tom Cruise movie and only other Tom Cruise movie came out that year?
Oh, yeah. Cocktail.
Cocktail. Mm. Cocktail negated his chance to get nominated for that.
Yeah, because remember, he had the stink. He had too much booze on his body.
Yeah, won the Razzie. I mean, it like swept the Razzies.
Yeah. I still have this place in my heart for that movie, man. Even though, sure, his only argument to her is, I'm sorry I fucked other women. So here's our argument. Dustin Hoffman should have been nominated in supporting actor and won, beating out Kevin Kline for A Fish Called Wanda. Tom Cruise should have gone into the best actor category.
I'm not saying that.
Ooh.
I'm saying Dustin Hoffman still belongs in the best actor. I'm saying Tom Cruise bump him to supporting. I'm not taking away Dustin Hoffman's.
No. Wait. So you're saying that you don't think he was a supporting actor in the movie? You think he was a lead? He comes into the movie 20 minutes later.
I'm saying you cannot have two leading actors in the same movie. One has to be supporting, one has to be main.
How about the one that's supporting being supporting?
Yeah.
I'm in a different boat.
What boat?
Good luck. I'll get to shore first.
I don't get what's in your
boat. So you're saying he should have been nominated?
I'm saying he should have been nominated in the best supporting.
Tom Cruise. Should have been supporting actor in Rain Man. He's in every frame of the movie.
He is the lead
of the
movie.
He's in every frame of the movie.
Because
this is a pretend situation. This is just us having a fantasy about something from 35 years ago. Let us have the what are you doing right now? It's supposed to be you and me.
Haha, Jeff's on my side.
No, he's not.
He is.
I am.
No, because you don't even think Dustin Hoffman belongs in it. We're in three separate votes.
He belongs in Best Supporting Actor, as does Alan.
I do too. I think he should have lost his Best Supporting Actor.
You think he should?
This question of the day was brought to you by Chimera, the last drug you'll ever take. And now, commercials.
Our guest this week is crazy talented, not to mention beautiful, just all around awesome. She has starred in everything from blockbusters like The Watchmen, Heartbreak Kid, Happy Thank You More Please, and some indie flick called Rock of Ages. I don't know. She's also been in billions of TV shows. You guys see what I did there?
Hey, yeah.
We're freaking out because Malin Ackerman's here with us today. Malin, thank you so much for being here.
Of course. My pleasure.
Okay, so this is how it works. I need to know from you, first and foremost. Give me a 30-second synopsis of your life leading up, birth, where you're from, divorce. It doesn't matter.
30 seconds?
Nah, 45 tops of your life leading up to before you met Tom Cruise, because you're secondary to Tom Cruise right now.
Of course I am.
Yeah.
So you want my BTC. I was your standard everyday girl, you know, just living the life. Born in Sweden, grew up in Canada. Moved to LA when I was 24, had 20 bucks in my pocket, lived on whoever's couch they would let me. Basically went on every date that any guy ever invited me on so I could have dinner, because I was basically broke. Would put bread in my purse for the next morning. It was great. I was living life.
And you knew you wanted to be an actress. You were here.
I did when I got here. I didn't want to when I was growing up. I was going to become a child psychologist. So this is just like psychology, but more selfish. But it was great times, you know. And it was one of those things. I was out here for a good year, didn't get a single job. And I just thought, I can't do this forever, and gave myself like 3 months to go back out on auditions, and if it didn't work out, I was going to go back and finish my studies to become a psychologist. And then I got The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow, and from there kind of progressed to the day that I got to meet Tom Cruise.
Yes,
I met him on the set of The Romantics with Katie Holmes. I was doing a movie with Katie at the time, and he was coming out to visit, and I don't get starstruck very often. But I have to say I was.
Look at Jeff.
So excited.
I really couldn't, I actually couldn't breathe. I like, you know, when you see in movies, sometimes people are so nervous because they're meeting someone and they can't speak, and you're like, that doesn't really happen. It really happens. I mean, I don't know what came out of my mouth, because I couldn't speak English. But he walked in, and he just is larger than life, even though he knows his impact. So he comes in, and he's so humble, and he's so lovely. But it doesn't matter how humble and lovely he is. It just is. It's still Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And you can't speak, and you can't breathe, because he's in the same room as you, and don't know what to do with yourself. I didn't know. So that was hard.
So you meet him there, and is it just one meeting here? Maybe he comes to set fairly often. Did you get to have time with him there? No,
not much. We met, and it was lovely. And then Katie and Tom, they were always so lovely. So after the movie was done, they invited us over to their house. I believe it was around New Year's Eve or Christmas. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'd love to come and hang out. And I really loved, like, our cat, we had such a great time. And again, I was like, all right, I'm going to do a better job this time. I'm going to speak English this time.
Right.
I'm going to have memories of what happened.
God, I really need to have these memories. But of course, then you walk into their house, and that's just like daunting, because it's this beautiful, beautiful home, you know, security guards and everything. And
that's the first thing you mention after a beautiful home, Malin. Just, I mean, you should see it, just security guards.
But it's so surreal. And I get it. It's like, wow, this is a different life, you know?
Right.
That I would not want to be in, as far as like not being able, he can't just walk out the door and go to the grocery store. That, like, it's impossible. There are things that you and I take for granted every day that he can't do. So it's just,
Malin, you've been to his house. Does he have a jet parked in his driveway? Because in my mind, Tom Cruise has a jet parked in his driveway.
Do you want me to continue your fantasy for you, or would you like to?
Yes, that's what you're. Yes.
Yes, he has a jet. He has a jet. The exact one from Top Gun.
Thank you. Okay.
It was awesome. He's just so loved. And this time I was able to like calm my nerves. Eventually it took a little while, and I think I did a good job. And we had a lovely time. And then the next time I met him was the audition for Rock of Ages. It wasn't like your standard auditioning where it's like, you know, you do the assistant casting director, and then it was straight to, in the room, chemistry read with Tom Cruise.
Wow.
So, and now for whatever reason, Adam Shankman was away. He was out of town, who is the director of Rock of Ages. So he was Skyping in. So it was just me and Tom in the room. He started as Tom, right, as himself, which is also a, like for me, like a character because it's Tom Cruise. It's just like, it's bigger, larger than life.
Right. So first he's playing Tom Cruise.
himself, which is, he does really well. And then goes into Stacey Jacks. And again, you know, it's that thing of now it's a whole new level because sure we've met. So we get caught up and it was really nice. And I'm still super nervous. And then we go, all right, we're going to do the scene. And I remember like every, I don't know, 10 seconds, it just popped into my head like, oh my God, this is Tom Cruise. Oh my God, this is Tom Cruise. You're acting with Tom Cruise. You're acting with Tom Cruise. Like, this isn't just meeting him. You're actually acting. And then it was just like, it was, I was schizophrenic. It was like, shut up. Okay, stop. Just focus. And I got there. We got there. We really got there. And he was lovely. And he turned to the camera to Adam afterwards. And he's like, Adam, did you see that? That was great. That was great. I was like, oh God. Okay. It went well. It went well. So I felt really good about it. And then they went, all right, now you just got to sing. And I was like, oh, fuck. All right. This is the part. Luckily, the guy, the music director was Swedish. And so I just said, listen, it's been a while. It's, I'm real rusty here and I'm not a trained singer. I was trained by an Italian who would just yell at me.
I got to ask Molly, cause, you know, like auditions are, they can be so dry and depending who you're reading with, like they want the focus to be on you. So they're not giving it much. What did he do? Was he going for it with you?
He was going for it. Yeah. I mean, this was a full on like, and so he was there for me 100% in that audition, you know, and that Tom is full on all the way, every day, all the time, in every way.
That's
like
this
says, guy yeah. does not cut corners. This is why he is a legend. He really lives life to the fullest.
I love it. So you book it. Do you have a Tom Cruise story for us?
I mean, how many moments do you want? I have so many.
All of them?
Think that.
This is literally what we're doing as a job right now.
Okay. I'll start by saying this. Like I said earlier, he is the uber professional. You guys are right to be his fans. He knows everybody's name. If he's asked you a question the day before, he'll follow up on it the next day. I mean, he's just like, he's invested in everyone. He doesn't play a status card whatsoever. We're all equals on the set.
You might not be able to hear this on the podcast. Jeff is crying.
I keep shifting. I keep shifting awkwardly just because it's like, I don't know what's happening inside of me right now. I don't know what the feeling is. And I'm accepting it. I'm accepting all the feels that are coming at me. And I need
I'm
to
hugging
just
a teddy bear under this table.
Yeah.
Right here. I'm
just, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah.
I love that I'm giving you all these feels right now. So that's all the boring stuff. You want to hear the juicy stuff. I get it.
Stories.
So, you know, in the script, there was a scene where he has to give me the tonguiest tongue kiss of all time.
Which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was.
I'm on pins and needles right now.
Continue. Tongue kiss. Tom Cruise.
So it was to the point where, you know, Adam was like, Adam Shankman, the director, kept saying, you know, more like everywhere. Like I want you to lick her face and her eyeballs. I'm just saying it was. So we do it. We do the scene. And I've been licked all over by Tom Cruise. And then they call cut. And because Tom is so excitable and invested, so when we finish the scene, there's always like discussion about the scene afterwards. So he's talking to me, but at the same time, I can feel his spit drying on my face. And I don't want to be rude, even if it was my husband. It doesn't matter whose spit it is. You want to wipe it out. You know, sometimes someone gives you a wet kiss and you love them and you're like, you're all into it, but you kind of wipe it off because it feels wet.
You do the quick move.
And it's not, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I was like, oh my God, he's going to think it's rude if, you know, and the makeup artist was right there standing with a wet wipe. And I was like, no, not now.
We're don't do this to me.
And I just feel everything drying and my face starting to dry up, and I just know that, you know, all the saliva is just, so, you know, 10 minutes later, finally we break and we're like, all right, we're going to get ready for the next, you know, final touches. I was like, oh God, wiping my face off. And we did that about 5 times. And after every take, I stood there and let it just dry.
You took it.
I'm sure Tom would not have minded if I was wiping my face off, but for whatever reason, I didn't want to offend him and feel like that I thought it was gross because I was so in it. But it is gross to have saliva dry on your face, no matter whose it is, you know, it's, again, you know, our jobs are crazy. Like, there I am frolicking on top of Tom Cruise on a pool table. Like, what?
No, Mullen, your job is crazy. Your job is crazy. I go to work one day a week and make people laugh with six lines, and I put on a sweatshirt and a spank. Your life is crazy.
Okay. All right.
And he remembers nobody's name on purpose.
And I don't know anybody's names. No, buddy and
they
pal.
They tell him and he says, I'm not going to remember.
Dude, man, yeah. Champ, bud. Yeah. Hey, friend.
So for anyone who's listening to this right now who works with you, whenever you call them buddy or pal, they know that you don't know their name.
The other people on the show know that about me. And every once in a while, they'll just be like, hey, man, what's his name? And I was like, don't. No, sometimes I just run. I just run away. I was like, I have two children. I can't, not right now.
Oh, and you can't even blame mommy brain. I always go, it's mommy brain. It's just my brain disappeared after.
But I know it must be selective for me, because at the same time right now, the amount of information I know about Tom Cruise's movies is uncomfortable.
Jeff, do you have any books in that backpack?
Oh, you mean this book right here on Tom Cruise?
Oh my God, Jeff. Well, how does your wife feel about this?
Ron, that's a good question.
Rumor has it that I married her because when she was 22, she was an extra on the set of Vanilla Sky, and Cameron Crowe came up and said, hey, listen, I want you to have a little scene with Tom when he's walking past the cubicles. And on our first date, which was at a Mediterranean restaurant in Astoria, Queens, we're talking, you know, we're both 24, 25 at the time. And she tells me that story. And I was like, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you.
Does she know that?
Well, just put it this way, Mullen. When we entered, so after we got married and we entered the reception, we came out to Danger Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we entered the song Danger Zone. And that's 12 years ago.
Wow.
So this isn't some like new thing that I'm just like making up. Like, I love Tom Cruise. Like, this is.
Have you ever met him?
Nope. I've never laid eyes on him at all.
You need to end your show, whatever your final episode season, it should be him being interviewed.
From your mouth.
We agree.
Mullen Ackerman, do you have do you have anything else that you can think of story-wise from this time that you just like, this one I want to share?
You know,
I mean, saliva on the face is
I think that's my best one, because all of it was just, you know, what other moments do I tell you about when I was unbuttoning his pants and pretending to see what was in them? And like, you know, when I was turning him over and on a pool table, and I mean, he was game for everything. It was great. And we had monkeys in the scenes, and you know, it was great. He really felt like, and that was the thing, is that it was so perfect because it's Stacey Jacks, this rock star of all time. And it's Tom Cruise, this legend of our times. And so there was that parallel, and it was and the stages that we were on. I mean, you know, just watching him sing Pour Some Sugar on Me and doing that. So you're like, this guy is he's a god. He's a rock star. So it was a weird, like, you got all those weird feelings in your body right now. it was the same feeling for me. Sure. I didn't really know what was reality and what was not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is so focused. This guy lives, breathes, and eats focus. And he would be up. He would have the guitar player come. He doesn't actually have to play guitar in this movie, but he took guitar lessons, and he would have the guitar teacher come over at like midnight. He's also sleeps maybe 3 or 4 hours a night. It's incredible. And then the guitar player comes over and he teaches them, you know, they do guitar lessons until 1:30 in the morning. You know, and then he gets up at 5 in the morning and comes to set. He is committed.
That's what I
feel. And that is, and I'm not as committed.
It didn't even occur to me that that was his voice until like, I don't know, like a week later, I was like, who sung that? Because it was good. It was really good. Like, who did Tom Cruise? I was floored that those are his vocals. The discipline to get
it's a hard song.
Any Bon Jovi, who can sing like, we all remember 80 rock bands, we all was like, who can actually sing like that? Who can sing like Peter Cetera? You know, like nobody.
Like a handful, that's it, you know? But he really, again, he did the work, and he would sit in the hair and makeup trailer in the morning, he'd do his warm-ups. I aspire to be like that, but I'm too lazy.
You and I have something in common.
That's a lot of work. He's just great.
Ugh, we can't thank you enough.
I'm so happy you thought of me. All the power to you and Tom Cruise. And thank you guys.
All right, we're going to end the show with some questions from the audience. We've got this one here from Instagram, from Isaiah.zzzzz. And Isaiah asks, why are you and Tom Cruise both hot?
Oh, that's a good question, Isaiah. Why are we so hot?
I don't think we have time.
Joel, please. Jawline, let's just start with that.
That's you or Tom?
Both of us.
Okay.
I'm going with both of us across the board.
Things that you and Tom share.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Jawlines. Our eyebrows are both prominent. Our teeth have both been fixed and are still slightly off, but that's what makes us unique. Joel, why are you?
We're both widely recognized as male.
So you're saying that he and I really don't have a lot in common, Joel.
That's right.
Hair, great, great heads of hair.
Yeah.
Well, mine's not a great head of hair. Did I ever tell you that I got my hair done? I got my hair did?
Okay, and with that, this podcast is hosted by Jeff Meacham and Joel Johnstone. It's produced by me, Alec Lev.
Wait, what do you mean you got a dick?
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick.
I got surgery on my hair.
Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studio.
Got that thing where you take the hair from the back of your head and put it on top?
You had the operation?
Yeah, dude.
Editing is by Alec Lev with additional editing by Alex Reeves.
13 hours in a chair.
Music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger.
I'm sedated the whole time, but well, sedated, I'm awake, but I'm like, oh.
Our artwork is by Rebecca Montoya.
Did they do like the big incision in the back? Like I heard it's like a zipper.
Yeah, there's literally a zipper in the back of my head. You can just open it up.
This show is executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media.
Like it looks like a zipper, like your brains can fall out. That'd be like a really good short film.
We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media.
No, man, but they did remove the hair from the back of my head. It was badass.
You can find us online at Meeting Cruise on Twitter and Instagram and check out our website and show notes at www.meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating, 5 stars preferably, and write us a nice review. It really helps. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oof.